This episode of Anything is Possible is brought to you by ProVision Cares Cancer Center. One call, one focus, cancer. Call 844-455-8600 for more information.
Welcome back to Anything is Possible. When I was at his company, MasterDry, I was there for an event. I was speaking, and I met you. I'm looking around this fabulous facility, and I'm seeing all these powerful, positive quotes, and just the energy of the building was just right. Being a student of culture myself, corporate culture, we have a great team here that we produce with every year. So I know about energy and culture and getting the right people. I felt this powerful energy. And then somebody started telling me little pieces of your story, and I'm like, there's no way. You started telling us your story in segment one of the broadcast. At 16, you go to jail. Okay, I'm not going to do that anymore. Broken home. You're back in jail at 20. You're trying to figure out, okay, I'm not going to go to jail anymore because I'm going to be a better criminal. And then something happened to you. What happened?
So, you know, if you would have asked me, hey, are you a Christian? I would have said yes, because you're American, right? I mean, isn't
right.
that the way that it is? I mean, we grow up here, of course. And I remember there was this guy, his name was Jonathan Mays, probably 6'4", real tall, big black guy, comes up to me and starts talking to me about Christ and just sharing just some things about God. And I was so angry, and I just took it out on him. And I talked to him terrible. And I made sure that everybody around got to hear it. I said, don't ever come talk to me.
You cussed him out.
I cussed him out bad. And one of the things I tell the guys when I'm speaking at different places is I literally had to learn how to re-talk. I mean, I had to learn how to communicate from that part of my life. And so I did that. And I still remember the look on his face. I still remember the reaction of this guy. And it was later that night. I was in my cell in my top bunk all by myself. No Bible, no preacher, nobody. Just the quietness. And it was that night. How I describe it is, it was like God showed me exactly who I was, the bad. I mean, peeled it off and showed me. Fortunately, he's not giving me even the look of how bad I still am to this day. But that day, he gave me a glimpse. And if it come down to saying the right words, if it came down to saying it the right way, I always say I wouldn't have got it. But it was that night that I just said, here I am. And I broke that night, and no bells and whistles went off. My toes didn't tingle. There's no fireworks show for me, no big procession. But that night, something changed. And it's never been the same for me since.
So you just said, here I am.
Here I am.
So if there were no fireworks, if there was no toe-tingling response, just shades of change, what did that start to show up as?
You know, it's funny. I started walking the way that I had regular walked, going to places, doing the different things. And I describe it as some of those things that never tasted bad to me before began to taste bad to me. And to spare a lot of the details from the viewers, just some bad things. I mean, for example, I remember a fight, somebody coming up and doing something that otherwise before I would have never tolerated. I mean, just would not have tolerated. And I didn't. I got up, invited to a fight, and it was after that that I just said this to the company this morning. It was after that that God began to ask me the question, is this who you want to be? And when I would have never went and made something right, I would have never backed down from something like that. Matter of fact, him and I were meeting somewhere to take care of this.
So you were a fighter.
I was a fighter, yeah. And we were going to meet and take care of this, and God just asked me that question, is this who you want to be? And something I had never done is back out from that or to say, this isn't something that I want to do. But I went to that person and I just said, look, you know, I ate crow, and I just said, this isn't who I'm trying to be. You know, I don't want to get involved in this. And I think that person was pretty surprised. But that showed me, that was within just a week or two. That was a baby step that when I went and laid down that night, I went, wow.
So that moment became the moment for the first time that you thought it's possible to be something other
Absolutely.
Than life has programmed me to be.
Absolutely.
So what happened after that?
So, I mean, just, again, more things, you know, more things began to happen. And my wife wasn't a believer at that time either. And we would talk on the phone and just be cussing and fighting. I mean, just, you know, I knew that we weren't going to be together when I went in. I mean, I knew this. And and then God did something miraculous with her. She went to get hair care product somewhere, and somebody gave her a card that had a scripture, ended up in inviting her to church. And we are having our nightly evening conversation, expecting a fight, and she apologizes to me for what she's been doing, who she was. And I'm thinking, you know, I've been a pretty good manipulator, but I don't think I'm this good. I mean, why would she feel this way? And she told me the story of what had happened that week and led up to what had happened and be invited to this church. And man, I tell you, that night was the night that I put it in overdrive and said, okay, I'm moving forward. I mean, God is as real as I know. I mean, I've just seen too many things. And now this, when we were supposed to be, you know,
done.
I mean, there's no way we're supposed to be together.
Because I noticed as you went to recount that moment, you took the biggest breath of this interview thus far. You were literally like,
yeah. It's just to hold back the emotion of, I mean, I remember it still to this day. I mean, that's been 20 years ago. I mean, I remember it like it was yesterday. And that's when there was no more hiding who I wanted to be or who I was going to be.
Why were you afraid to be better?
You know, I don't know. I think, you know, sometimes I think it was just because.
Did it seem like weakness?
No. I think that, I think it was more of, since I didn't think that it was going to be for me anyways, why attempt it? You know, I mean, it depends on where you grow up. It depends on the culture that's around you.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like that boiling frog story. You know, you can put a frog in hot water to jump right out. But if you start the temperature and boil it, it'll stay right in there. I think cultures that we get caught up in, we believe these certain things. And I just, you know, to believe anything other than that really could almost be just, you know, more depressing, lead to a life of just letdowns.
How long did it take for you to get out?
5 years.
So in 5 years, you went from what to what?
Well, you know, my first year was really about growing who I was. You know, really, I didn't mess with anything. I mean, I didn't watch TV for a year. I just began to read and study and just pray. I just took baby steps and growing, and then after that, I began to read other books. You know, I laugh. People look at me to this day, and of course, me sharing this story is going to be news to a lot of people. This is only something I share at certain places.
Wow.
But I began to read about the stock market, for example. So I never knew anything about that. I began to read a book called Motley Fool's, The Guide to Investing. And by the way, I just met the CEO of Motley Fool. I'm in a group with him.
Now,
how crazy is that? I began to learn from others. I began to read these biographies. I came up with, I didn't even have credit. Actually, I had horrible credit. I did have credit. I had real bad credit. I began to study, what is credit? What does that do? How does money work? Began to study real estate. And I laugh. I speak at prisons all over. I tell them, you know, I used to get some real big laughs out of people when I was studying these things. And they'd look and go, what are you talking about? And you're a, now look at where you're at, the charges you had. I mean, it was drugs. You're a convict. It's all these different things. And you're not going to be anything. And I just continued to push on and make plans.
Let's stop right here, take a break. When we come back, I want to find out, you're reading, you're studying, you're growing. You get out 5 years later, where do you start to start over? This is Josh Smith. This is Anything is Possible. More in a moment.
Anything is possible.
This episode of Anything is Possible is brought to you by ProVision Cares Cancer Center. One call, one focus, cancer. Call 844-455-8600 for more information.
Anything.
I have the ultimate lady of all with me, Pat Summitt.
Thank you, Howard.
Is
the one and only Con Hunley.
Thank you, Howard.
Possible.
Ashley Capps, welcome to the broadcast.
Thanks for having me.
Anything is Possible, Radio Edition.
This episode of Anything is Possible is brought to you by ProVision Cares Cancer Center.
5 years in prison, but you start reading, and you start learning, and you start growing. Real estate, finance, Motley Fools, and you're seeing your faith grow, and you're seeing your marriage hold together. Most guys, when they go to prison, they don't come out with a wife.
No.
So when did you get out, and what do you do with all of that?
So I got out with nothing. I mean, my wife was on welfare, two children on welfare, and living in government housing. I get out, and all I had was a plan. I had a plan for my finances, how to get that in order.
What was the plan?
I had planned to get $500 in savings so that I could then give it to the bank and borrow against it to begin building credit, and then kind of build it from there. I had to beg for my first job. I mean, literally beg. The place that I went in four times and begged for a $6 an hour job. That was 14, 15 years ago. And finally, I just said, listen, I'll clean toilets, I'll clean racks. It was a hardware store. I said, I'll do the jobs that nobody else will do. You don't like me, fire me, but give me a chance. And the guy just finally got wore out from seeing me, and he said,
where was this?
This was in Clay Building Supply in London, Kentucky, or actually Manchester, Kentucky.
Wow.
And so they gave me a shot, and I worked there for 6 months, 6 months to get on my feet. And I saved every dollar I could and began doing that plan. I got that $500 saved and went and borrowed against it. I got $1,000 saved and borrowed against it. Not doing anything with the money, just began to build credit and then began to grow.
So I looked at the paper today, you know, your bio, and I'm looking at $16 million, and I'm trying to reconcile $6, yeah, no credit, yeah, living on welfare,
yeah,
right? And in 16 years, that's a really short window of time.
Yeah.
So when do you decide to go into business?
So I had gotten out. I was, you know, just spending time with my kids, and I'd went to work for a home improvements company that I'd worked for prior to that. And then I went on my first mission trip. So I was invited to go to Managua, Nicaragua. And for one, I didn't even know if I could go. I mean, I said, when the person invited me, I said, look, if I'm honest, I don't even think I can leave the county, much less the country. I've never been to any place like that. And just kind of on a step of faith, I said, hey, if God wants me to go, he'll open up the door. And it'd be too long of a story to share with you how big he opened the door, but he did. Borrowed money to go on my first mission trip. Didn't tell anybody I'd borrowed it, but I did. And so I went, and something just, again, continued to just change in me and my heart, what I wanted to do. And my wife and I felt God leading us to begin to work back in the jails and prisons and doing those things. So it was, you know, it's hard to do that with a job. So I ended up, you know, starting a very small business, literally just to be able to have the freedom to be able to serve, literally to just be able to go into these places, these neighborhoods.
You weren't trying to build some big empire.
Never.
You wanted the freedom to work hours that will allow you to minister.
Exactly. Exactly.
You got to be kidding me.
No, I try to meet with every new employee that comes on an interview. I do the final interviews. All of our staff and management do all that, and they do a great job. And I just meet for one reason and one reason only. It's for culture. I want to see if they're going to fit this culture. And I want them to hear a little bit about the story leading to that to make sure that this is something they want to do. This is something that they want to be a part of.
It's amazing. I guess your journey, if that guy hadn't confronted you in jail, right? If you hadn't had an angry reaction to someone trying to share faith with you, you might not have had faith on your mind in the battle that was going on in your mind.
Yeah.
Have you found that guy?
I have. I actually went several years ago to, I think he was in West Tennessee. I tracked him down, found him. And now after that time, him and I got to spend some quality time together.
So why don't we do this? Because we've got a part two of this, right? Okay. We're just starting to unfold the story. When we come back in our next episode, I want to talk about your relationship with him and what became of that. This is Josh Smith, proof positive that anything is possible. Part two next time.